The question was asked, we are taught that saying Kaddish loudly is a positive thing. What about if you're in a shul where other people are not saying it loudly? Should you still say it loudly? So the general rule is, Hillel Omer, the Talmud says, Hillel taught, Al Teira'e, don't be seen, don't stick out. Omid, when you're standing. Al Teira'e, don't be seen, don't stick out. Yoshev, when you're sitting. If everyone around you standing, stand. If everyone around you sitting, sit. Don't stand out. If there's a social norm, fit in. And that's a general approach to life. So even though technically the Talmud says, Kol onei yesh merabah b'chol kocho, kore'in lo gzar dino shel 70 shana, the Talmud says, if someone says, Yehei shmei rabah with all their might, so they will, even if there was a decree against him for 70 bad years, it gets torn up because he said, Yehei shmei rabah with all his might. And even so, don't stand out. So, first of all, the generally accepted opinion is that all your might does not mean all your vocal cords. It means all your intent, all your focus. One who answers Yehei shmei rabah with all his focus and intent, that can annul a decree of 70 years. But there is an halachically accepted opinion that says all one's might means to yell. And even so, one should not be strange. One should fit in with the crowd. And that's a generally important rule. Chazal tell us that Rav traveled out to Babylon. He was going to be the rabbi there. So they're all supposed to listen to him. He just came from Israel to be their rabbi. He comes to Shul and it's Rosh Chodesh. They start saying Hallel. How did they say Hallel? Well, Hallel was a very slow process in ancient times. They would say a verse and everyone would answer Hallelujah. They would say another verse and everyone would answer Hallelujah. It would go back and forth in unison. It was a song that went back and forth. So he's standing there and he's thinking, this isn't right. What are they doing saying Hallel for? He's gone over in his mind. It says in the Braisa exactly how many days a year you're supposed to say Hallel, and this is not one of them. So what do we think the rabbi should do? You're new to town, and they're making a mistake, and you're the rabbi. So bang on the table. Go ahead, tell them, guys, you're wrong. There's no reason to say Hallel today. Nope, says he stood there thinking and wondering, what are they doing? And then when they reached the chapter that they skip half the chapter, he saw them skip. He said, oh, they're skipping. Then they're not really reading Hallel. Must be some kind of minhag they have out here in Bavel. Fine, so that's their minhag, that's fine. What does that show us? He didn't think that just because he's the rabbi, he should start making a ruckus, because he's right. He's their rabbi. So, they're doing something. There must be a logic to it. We have a similar story. It says he came and they asked him to do Kiddush. So he wasn't sure when they drink, when they don't drink. He looked around to see when they drink. He waited to see when everyone else drinks, and that's when he drank. he wasn't sure what their minhag was. Ah, but he's the rabbi. Right. But let me respect what they're used to doing around me. We have many stories like that with the Rosh. Rabbeinu Asher, the Rosh, was rabbi in Germany. After they incarcerated his rabbi, the Maharam, he was still rabbi in Germany. And then when the Maharam died in prison, he understood that they'd come after him next. They wanted a ransom from the community. The rabbi, the Maharam of the city of Rutenberg, had died in jail. So they take the next rabbi for ransom. So the Rosh fled to Spain. He came to Spain after Nachmanides had been rabbi in Spain, after Ramban had been rabbi in Spain. The Rosh fled to Spain. He comes to Spain and he sees all kinds of weird minhagim. So he says all kinds of interesting things. I'll just mention one to make our Sephardi friend here happy. He says, I came to Spain and I didn't want to eat any of their meat. Because us Ashkenazim, we have a very powerful minhag. We have ancient customs that go back hundreds, if not thousands of years. But the Sephardim, I don't know if I want to eat their chicken. So that's the line.
Did he say, I wasn't sure if they were Jewish or something?
That I'm unaware of. So the Rosh was their rabbi, and he records many things that he encountered there that seemed very wondrous to him. He didn't come in and say, gentlemen, this is wrong. Change what you're doing. No. They have a custom. We respect it. So coming back to our Kaddish. Technically, halachically, there's a basis for saying Kaddish with force. Practically, look around you. People don't do that. So we blend in with the accepted halacha. If I'm in a shul where people say it loudly, I can say it with them loudly. If I'm in a shul, which is the general practice, that people say it like everything else they say, then I should go with what's been accepted in Am Yisrael as halacha.
Can I tell a nice